Amen. Say, Father, I need ears to hear. Eyes to see. What your Spirit is speaking to me. A heart to understand it and comprehend it with clarity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I believe we're going to be using the NIV, but I may end up running to the Amplified in a couple of verses because of the extra words will help to bring a little more clarity. And the scripture we're going to is Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, there's a lot of material that you can go over at home. But my press was to kind of expound on faith. Faith in Hebrews 11, it says, is the substance of things hoped for, which we talked about last week. But the verse I want to concentrate on for the moment is Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He was delivered to death for our sins and was raised up to life for our justification. The Amplified said, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and was raised to secure our justification. But it adds, our acquittal, and to make our account balance. To make my account balanced, absolving us from all guilt before God. When we realize the depth of what God can infiltrate into us, when his truth starts permeating us, we get changed from the inside out. So this is what I'd like you to do right now. I'm going to ask you to repeat verse 25 because it's God's opinion of what he did with his son. Say Romans chapter 4.
Romans chapter 4.
Verse 25.
Verse 25.
Jesus was betrayed. And put to death
because of our misdeeds.
He was raised up
to secure our justification,
our acquittal,
and to make our account balanced,
absolving us
from all guilt
before God. I'm going to take it a little deeper, and this time I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and repeat it again. Jesus was betrayed for me.
Jesus was betrayed for me.
He was put to death because of my misdeeds.
He was put to death because of my misdeeds.
He was raised up
to secure my justification,
my acquittal,
and to make my account balanced.
Absolving me from all guilt,
before God.
The next verse says, therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation, to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. When you take time to digest that word and make it an opinion that you will now have towards yourself, what's going to happen to your anguish and the mental torment that comes against you?
Now you say, well, that's an awful lot of words. I'll tell you, he was the Word made flesh. And he dwelt among us. And now he's dwelling among us. Did you notice tonight he's using different vessels with different messages, not just for each other, but for one another. The corporate structure of the church was designed by God to be a prophetic church, not a religious church, not an accusing church, not a fault-finding and guilt-ridden church. Wow. You mean if I come here, I won't be judged and condemned? You're right. Because the Holy Ghost said, by the Holy Spirit, through St. Paul, that your guilt is already dealt with.
Amen.
Doesn't he say he acquitted you already?
Yep.
Well, what are you doing finding fault with your neighbor? And why finding fault with yourself? Whose opinion is righteous? Is it yours or his? Did he die for you and for me?
Yeah.
A few months ago, I was asked to do a funeral of a gentleman that I had known for years since we were teenagers. When he was a kid, he used to drive around with a hearse, and they had an empty casket in the back, and one of the kids would lay in there, and the kid would drive around with a top hat, and the whole town would know that he's coming into the village. And of course they were all celebrating life, and they were celebrating their victory over death. And they did this for his parents wanted to kill him, but that's beside the point. Him and his two brothers would ride around the town with that hearse, and it was just the biggest comedy that you could think of. And of course, if there was a parade in the town, they were right there in the middle of that parade, and they were partying and doing all those crazy things that kids do. Hey, come on now, don't be so religious on me, okay? How many of you ever got in trouble when you were a kid? Thank you, praise God, you're normal. And after the service at the funeral home, they invited us to go to a lunch. And when I first walked in, it was a large funeral home, and I noticed this young man, this one young man, and a buddy of his, and they were like, actually, now I learned that he was 15. And actually, the gentleman who passed away was his uncle. And I had never seen this young man, but I knew his aunt and his uncles and his grandmother. In fact, it was his grandmother's idea that I be the one to give a little talk about the Lord. And to make a long story short, the Holy Spirit said to me, like he did with Linda, this message is for so-and-so, and I knew this message was for this young man. But I kept asking God, you know, who is this kid? And I kept literally being focused by the Holy Spirit on him. I didn't understand why, I just didn't know. And so I finally said a short prayer in my heart and said, God, if you have this message for this young man coming out of my heart, then you're going to find a way and you're going to do it. I don't know when or how, but you're going to do it. Well, as it turned out, we were saying goodbye to his grandmother and to another person. And all of a sudden, I turn around and there's this young man sitting, and I learned later it was his half-brother, in a bench at the restaurant. And I'm totally alone right next to them. This was orchestrated. God, Holy Ghost stuff, okay? I couldn't have done it. And I reached out to the both boys, and I said, I have a word from the Lord for both of you. And so I gave the word to the older one, and then I turned around and gave the word to the younger one.
And I handed them each a little card from the church. Well, that night, that was around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a telephone call from New Hampshire. It's the young man. He's 15 years old. He had already said thank you, but he said, "Are you aware that you gave me the same scripture that literally made me come alive in God?" And I said, "No, had no idea." He said, "Well, there's a football player that advertises John 3:16. Anybody know who? All right, Tebow. Well, this is several months later. I come home, and it's on the night of Easter celebration. We were in the Passover feast. I didn't tell you guys about it because it wasn't time. And he leaves me a message. He said, "Tim, I just want to say thank you for giving me that hope of the future." He said, "And this morning, I realized as I was laying in my bed, the price that Jesus paid to set me free." He's 15 years old. He leaves this entire message on my machine. I come home. I'm tired. I've done a lot of different things. It was a busy day. We had company and so on. And I'm literally weeping inside saying, "What if I didn't obey? Why didn't I just shut up because there was none of my business?" Because that's what the enemy says. "It's none of your business. Leave that kid alone." So this week, Holy Ghost thought comes in. It's time to give that young man a call. And I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe it's school vacation. So anyway, I picked up the phone, dialed a number, and sure enough, I had to leave a message because he didn't answer. I goofed again. I guess I missed you. You know, what can I say? I missed the boat. I don't think it was more than a minute and a half, the phone rings. "Hi, Kim, this is Kyle. How are you?" I says, "Oh, this is exciting. How are you?" He said, "Well, I couldn't pick up my phone, blah, 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 and all that good, whatever." And we had this wonderful conversation, and we ended up praying together. Now, why would God choose to give a word of knowledge at a funeral?
Because he's God.
He does whatever he wants.
Because he's God, and he likes the idea of building up his broken people. So we have a friend now who actually lives in New Hampshire. He was now spending time with his dad in Connecticut, and he had time for me on the phone, and I had time for him, and he was overwhelmed. Why? Because he's learning about Jesus. And I reminded him, Jesus has justified every single one of us, but we still don't believe it. Jesus has literally acquitted us from all guilt and condemnation, and we still dwell on the old lies, and the accuser whispers in our ear, and we don't shut him off.
Amen.
We listen to it. Why? Why do we listen to it? Because we've listened, and we've listened, and we've listened, and we're accustomed to the old ways, and God said it's time to turn it around. I'm going to back it up a little bit. Verse 18. Abraham. I'm using the Amplified. Verse 18. "For Abraham, human reason, for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised, so numberless shall your descendants be." Genesis 15:5. "He did not weaken in faith
when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old. And when he considered the barrenness of Sarah, deadened womb, Genesis 17:17, no unbelief or distrust made him waver. You say, whoa, how did he get there? By grace. How did he get there? By choice. No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith. Empowered by what?
Faith.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not always tangible. You can't touch it. But it is part of the unseen realm. And that unseen realm created this realm. Whoops. I just hit a brick wall. Close your eyes for a moment. Say the unseen realm.
Unseen realm.
Which is the realm of the spirit.
Which is God's realm.
It's the spirit realm. And he spoke. And all the planets became a reality.
That includes earth.
That includes man.
And everything that was created
was created for us.
And in Adam,
we all failed. But in Christ Jesus,
we rise above.
We come back
with full standing,
totally acquitted,
absolved of all guilt
before God.
Amen?
Now we go back.
No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promises of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God.
The solution was to give praise and glory to whom?
Yeah.
How many of you have got a few problems that you don't like?
Well, the solution is no different for you than it was for Abraham.
Say, I don't like this problem, Lord, but I'm going to praise you. I know you've got a plan. You're going to do something awesome here. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust you by choice. And my emotions may not match, and I may have some unbelief, and I may have a lot of garbage thoughts, but I'm pulling those down today.
Amen?
I'm pulling those down today. I'm not going to concentrate on the unbelief. I'm not going to concentrate on what I can't see. I'm going to concentrate on the promise God has already made Abraham. And he gave me an example to follow.
21.
Fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised, that is why his faith was accredited to him as righteousness and right standing with God. By the words it was accredited to him were written not for his sake alone, but they were written for our sake too. Righteousness, standing acceptable to God, will be granted and accredited to us also who believe, who trust in, adhere to, and rely on God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead.
You know, if I could insert this message into your brain with a hypodermic needle and make you think about this truth, your whole life would totally, totally be changed. What happens is we go back to what we understand and we reason everything out.
Amen.
And while we're doing all this reasoning, we lose the word of God that he has spoken. How do we go forward? By choice. How do we stand in that place? By grace, unmerited favor, and holding on to the promises that he has given us. If you noticed, there were many of us that were literally writing down the word of knowledge that were given to us.
You say, well, why would you bother writing it down? Well, I've got news for you.
There were times God gave me a word of knowledge through somebody, and I didn't write it down, and guess what? By the time I got home, it was half garbled. And I lost a gift that God had provided. I went back trying to remember, and I couldn't remember. Well, it's because you have a bad memory. No, it's because it was stolen.
Amen.
Yeah, it was stolen. Exactly. I had an excellent memory for everything else. All the insults, I didn't forget those. Why? Because that's coming from the natural realm. But the word of God, the word of promise, many, many times people will give me a word and I will say, please, would you write it down so I can have it, so that I can go over it, so I can repeat it to myself. I don't care what others think. I know what I gotta think. I gotta think on the things that are good. Godly, that will fulfill me for the next test. Because you know what? This life is a test.
Amen.
It's a test, and we are passing. So nudge your neighbor. Say, you're passing. You're getting an A plus. Tonight. I don't know about tomorrow. Because that's to you. You need to declare that you're getting a passing mark. And you've already been acquitted. You have already been absolved. The account has been balanced. And you're free as a bird. It's time for you to fly. Amen.